Halley's, Higbee's, Huff Bakery, Heinen's. What do they have in common? Well, they're four historic Cleveland retailers that start with the letter H. What's different? Well, only one, Heinen's, is still around. We've listened to Jack Kale talk about decommoditizing duct tape. How do you do that with a basic like a grocery item? Especially when there seems to be a big box store opening up all over, and every gas station and drugstore seems to be offering grocery items too. Jeff Heinen is the current CEO of Heinen's Fine Foods. As a third generation to run Heinen's along with his brother, Jeff knows the challenges firsthand, and he also knows how to compete. Listen to what he told the John Carroll University Entrepreneur Association this spring.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
Might be helpful to understand a little bit about our history. My grandfather did start the business in 1929, which was obviously an auspicious year. He was actually born on the boat coming to this country. He learned to be a butcher by trade, and he worked for a gentleman named Mr. Diderot. And Mr. Diderot had four or five butcher stores in the city of, on the east side of Cleveland. And my grandfather kept telling him, you ought to sell products other than meat. You could do better. And Mr. Diderot, being the stern German that he was, said, I'm a butcher, I sell meat, why would I ever sell anything else? So of course my grandfather took his idea and opened his own store. We've had a very slow growth curve, four stores by 1960, 11 by 1981, and we're 17 stores today. We also self-distribute. We have two warehouses in Warrensville Heights. It's very unusual for companies of our size to self-distribute. In fact, we're only one of three companies with less than 40 stores who do it in the United States. We're the third generation. My grandfather started it. My father and my uncle ran it after my grandfather, and today my brother Tom and I currently run it. The pendulum in our industry has kind of gone back and forth between service to self-service, back to service, and now it looks like maybe going back to self-service, perhaps epitomized by self-serve checkouts. And certainly the size of stores and the number of items carried have increased greatly, although that's changing with all the new formats that are happening in our industry today. It is a challenging industry. If you think about these realities that we face every day, is that the number one reason why people choose a supermarket is convenience. If you think about all the convenient options that exist for people, there are a lot, particularly challenging in Cleveland because, as you know, there's very limited population growth. And then what you probably don't think about too much, but the most favorite aspect of grocery shopping, it's leaving the store. And what does that mean? It means that people really do not enjoy going grocery shopping. So it's not a particularly rosy picture if you really think about it. Convenience is very important, lots of convenient options, and I really don't like to go grocery shopping. I want to finish it as quickly as possible. And if you also think about what Cleveland was, is just 7 or 8 years ago, there were two traditional grocers other than Heinen's, albeit they had different names at that time. Mark's was here, Sam's Club was here, and there were a few chain drugstores that basically focused on selling prescriptions and health and personal care items. Have any of those been subtracted? Well, the answer was no until just most recently with the demise of Tops in this market. But you think about what's been added. In the warehouse clubs, Costco and BJ's, natural food stores, Mustard Seed, Wild Oats, and now Whole Foods. Certainly the big box stores, Walmart and Target. And now there are drug stores on every corner, it seemingly, and their stated growth vehicle is grocery sales. So at the same time our competition was increasing, our customer was changing as well. Well, certainly our customers are less and less homogeneous. They're certainly less tolerant for being disappointed in what they believe they should be getting for the money they spend. They're more demanding that their individual needs be met, and they're certainly challenging the value they receive from a lot of traditional grocery practices. So how do we compete in that world? We kind of believe in a model that a Harvard professor, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, postulated upon. His name was Michael Tracy. And he basically said companies compete in one of three ways. The first is what he called operational efficiency. This is really just companies who invest most heavily in their procurement practices and in their processes about how they get work done in terms of being efficient. And they really focus on price leadership versus service, quality, or innovation. It's really the low-cost provider, and obviously the epitome of that is Walmart. What does that mean for Heinen's? Well, due to our size and culture, kind of competing on price probably is not the best strategy. If competing on price is the way we're going to really convince people to drive past all those other options and come to Heinen's, we don't think we'll be very successful. The second way that companies can compete is something that Tracy called product leadership. And that's where companies through, what product leadership is that through companies, either through the uniqueness of their product, the breadth of their product selection, or the quality of their product, says we're really the best in this, in one of those three areas, and if you're interested in that, you'll come to our store. Great examples of that was really Toys R Us and the toy industry. As you know, when Toys R Us first came into being, there were lots and lots of toy stores. But the reality is parents drove by all those toy stores to go to Toys R Us. Even if they didn't know what they wanted, they believed that through the breadth of the selection they knew they'd find something that met their need. Obviously, that category killer concept, as it became known, was very successful and was copied, whether it was sporting goods, office supplies, and the list is endless. So that's one way companies can compete. Another way is through the quality of their product. An example I often use is Godiva chocolate. Godiva doesn't say we're convenient to get. They don't say we're inexpensive. What they say is if you want the best chocolate in the world, we think we have that and you'll come to us. Whether you believe that or not, that's how they choose to compete. And so what does all that mean for Heinen's? There's a couple of realities we need to deal with. The first is that grocery stores need to be many things to many people. We also believe that by definition, nobody can be the very best at what they do. We've chosen some areas that we believe we have product leadership positions in. We believe we do it through meat, produce, wine, and prepared foods. What we believe we do in these areas, very few companies choose to do or are able to duplicate. On the other hand, for all kinds of reasons, we'll never be a market leader in bakery. We need to be good at it, but just there's too many constraints that we're faced with that we'll never believe that if people say, who's the best bakery in Cleveland? Unfortunately, it's not going to be us. It may never be us. We have to be very good in some things, competitive in others, and that will help us. The last is customer service, and actually Tracy called it customer intimate service. But what he really meant was providing a level of service that understands or even anticipates what the customer needs and then meets or exceeds their expectations in filling those needs. What does that mean for Heinen's? Is that we believe that what, no matter what happens in the marketplace, whether it's a low-cost person coming in or a really unique retailer coming in, that if we can provide truly world-class customer service, there will always be a niche for us. There will always be someone who can do something a little better, a little different from us, but we don't think they can always provide better service. Lots of companies pay great customer service lip service, but very few make the organizational commitment and put the resources behind it to truly be world class. We recognize as a retailer, we have to provide more at a lower price. And really, what does that mean? Well, we are constantly focused on lowering our prices. We don't get credit for our prices, but the reality, because it's kind of counterintuitive, if you provide high quality, great service, and a pleasant surrounding, people believe they pay more. But in fact, our prices are very competitive, and we recognize they need to be. We also drive our product quality through a number of ways. One of the ways is through sourcing of our products. We're not good marketers, so we don't tell these stories very well. We have our own ranches out west, and by raising our own beef, we're able to control how they're raised, what they're fed, when they're fed, how they're treated, and actually how they're slaughtered. And we think it results in a much better product. We do pretty much the same thing, except we don't own the cattle, but with our poultry, I mean, we own the cattle. We do the same thing with our poultry farmers. Both our turkey and chicken providers pretty much do the same thing. We manage how they run their business, and we think we get a better product as a result. We also buy direct from both local, regional, and national growers of produce. Trader Joe's came into Cleveland, and they got a lot of very positive press about their wine program. And we've certainly understood Trader Joe's and what they did with wine, and we looked at our wine selection and said, we think we're better than they are, and so we're not really that concerned. Well, the reality is they kicked our butt and on wine, on lower-priced wines, and we said, why is that? And we realized that people really didn't understand what we were doing. And so we have this program called Bin 75, which is really the 75 best wines at that time available for under $10. And the huge advantage we have over what Trader Joe's does is they buy from one grower. And so if that grower has a bad vintage because California doesn't have a good vintage, or that particular grape, it's not the right weather for that grape, you get mediocre wine for a low price. With the 75 best wines coming from all over the world, you get a better wine at the same price. And it's been very successful, but if customers don't understand what it is you're telling them or what you have, nobody buys it. And so we've actually recovered all of our wine business and then some. But it's a great example that if you don't effectively communicate what it is you're selling, then it doesn't matter that you have the better solution. No one's going to buy it.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.